This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Healing and restoring sibling relationships. Maris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Aaron. And I love that the shininess and the happiness just wouldn't stop there on a Tuesday morning. That was great.
Good. Look, where do we start with this one? I mean, I guess if you start off bad as kids growing up and it doesn't quite work out, how do you make that relationship work as adults? Or if it's always just been strange or there's baggage, there's bitterness, how do you attack a topic like this, Maris? Over to you.
Well, I guess there's a couple of particularly, I guess, key things which only occur in families, and that makes any issues or any relationship issues that occur in families that much more, I guess, different, and therefore the way to broach those and the things that we need to consider are just a little bit more, I guess, more unique than general conflict with friends, work, colleagues and things like that. And one of the reasons for that, I guess, is, and you know, one of the really important things to keep in mind when we're talking about, you know, repairing any family relationships, is that families often have quite well-defined family roles within them. And so whenever then there's conflict within those roles, even years and years later, or we can often revert back to those roles that we previously had in life and that kind of were the rules by which the family functioned. So they're often at play whenever, even as adults, there's issues between siblings. So that's probably the first thing to keep in mind, that unknowingly sometimes we can be stepping right back into some of the roles which actually could have actually been the cause of the conflict previously. So, and that's quite unique in families. So the first thing to consider there.
Could you give an example of that? Like, how would that play out? Just, you know.
Well, there's a really, really famous, I guess, idea around family roles, and it's called the drama triangle. And so when there's an issue in a relationship, or particularly in a family, there's kind of three roles that get taken: the victim, the persecutor, and the rescuer.
Mm-hmm.
And so one party plays the victim, or the person who's been served an injustice by the persecutor, and then another party seeks to go in and rescue. But if the victim isn't satisfied with the rescuer's approach, they can actually then turn into the persecutor, and so the actual dynamics within that change. But then there's other roles that are quite common as well. So there's commonly jesters in families. There's the person that you know, pretends nothing matters and jokes. There's people that take on the kind of role of the martyr, and they're the one that are always, you know, giving and without any, you know. So they're just some really, really common roles that families kind of find themselves in. But definitely the victim, persecutor and rescuer are pretty key. And that's throughout the lifespan as well. So not just when we're young, but, you know, we tend to fall into these roles unknowingly, even later in life.
Mm.
So I guess on the flip side of that, so beyond just understanding what some of the things that might be at play there, I guess in terms of bridging that divide and working towards getting to a different place, then the next thing would be to really consider that relationships take time. Particularly if they've been damaged, it takes time to heal physically. And so we understand that when we injure ourselves physically, it takes a long time to actually restore. And the same is true emotionally, that we don't just get back to the way things were overnight. It takes a bit of time to actually get there and for all of that healing to occur. So don't put too many expectations on that, and allow the actual relationship the space it needs to build itself back to strength.
Well, what would be some of the tips, I suppose, for even just initiating that kind of restoring that relationship?
Sometimes the mode of communication is really, really important to actually consider changing that. And so, you know, things that have worked previously have been, siblings writing letters to each other,
mm-hmm.
Which actually gives both people, the writer and the receiver, the time to actually reflect on and go back and to consider in a greater depth the message and what's actually being said in that communication, which unfortunately we don't often get the chance to do in verbal contact and communication, because we're speaking often a lot faster than our heads. I like to describe this to people in that the distance between your brain and your mouth is only a few centimetres, but the distance between your brain and your hand is at least 60 or 70 for a lot of people, and for some people up to a metre. And so that's often been, it's a good metaphor, I think, for how that communication actually changes. When we write things down, we formulate the nature of the communication differently, and that often means that the message is a lot more successful. Mm. Some siblings also find it's easier to actually talk on the phone as well and take out that personal in the room contact, because that can be a cause of anxiety, or so that phone contact can be helpful as well. Generally, the more frequent the contact, the stronger it is. But I guess at the end of the day, we're always looking for quality communication rather than quantity, because we need to actually have quite good communication to be able to build and extend upon the existing relationship that we have.
Is it also fair to say that in that situation, when you're trying to, you've got a pretty broken relationship, there's maybe old wounds and things like that, does it take really one sibling to actually kind of take a real humble approach to kind of get the ball rolling, like to actually maybe admit fault or say, hey, can we start this again? Is that fair to say that one of them at least needs to kind of raise that or be that?
I guess it is definitely fair to say that, in that if the relationship is at the point where two people have, in a way, dug their heels in and aren't willing to budge or move, then there's absolutely no way for that to be broached unless a third party comes in. What the best course of, I guess, action and the evidence actually suggests is if someone makes a step towards restoring that relationship, that actually inspires and encourages the other to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so both people are able to walk back into the middle there and sit down and have a conversation. I guess alongside that, it's really, really important for both parties to kind of, spend a bit of time and be willing to empathise with the other person about their experience, and also kind of be willing to own, our own part in this and accept, the things that we could have actually done wrong.
Mm.
And then find a way through that. And I guess when we're talking about relationship restoration, then trying to actually speak from the space of, offering the actual solution to how this may not happen again, rather than just focusing on the fact that it has happened and that it hurt, is a really, really good step as well. Because you're encouraging the other that, you can see a way through this, and that here's what, could actually work in the future.
Mm.
Really, really important stuff.
And I guess there is a realisation too that, as Aaron sort of pointed out, the halfway thing, but maybe both parties just don't want to fix it, and that's just the way it is.
And it's an unfortunate reality, but it's one that does happen in families and in other relationships as well. And that's that, there's a reality that even if the relationship can be, a part of it can be restored, it may not actually get back to the way it was, and it may actually be different. Now, that different, that third place, could actually be much better, or it could just be that, the nature of the relationship is different now, and this is the new normal. And for some people, what that actually means is that contact is really, really minimal and can be almost quite superficial. But that this is the way that they can be in a form of relationship and minimise that conflict and I guess play nice.
Yeah. Smile and grit the teeth.
It is a sad thing to hear on a Tuesday morning, but sometimes, sometimes people don't get along, and that doesn't actually matter whether people are in families or not, or in the workplace.
Yep.
Mm. And so for both parties, it's often a lot easier to have some form of difficult acceptance of that fact, so that we can get on and maximise our life in other areas, rather than continue to try and fix something that, may not ever get back to where it was.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.